I moved back to the island after being at university in Manchester, and I'd had a run club there, and I was really wanting to have the same sort of community when I was back here. What I did notice when I was away was the sense of community between just the women, and how we don't have that necessarily on the Isle of Man in a run club. So I decided to make the Isle of Man's first run club for women only, and it's just to have a group of women basically feel comfortable being able to run together and not feel like they're in a competitive environment or an unsafe environment, and also be together as a group, because sometimes I know that running alone can be quite scary, especially if it gets to winter and it's in the dark. I know that that's quite scary for a lot of women. So yes.
Take us back to when you set this up. How long ago was it? What's it called as well?
It's called Run Like a Girl, and it was set up in April, I want to say April of this year. So we've only had a few run clubs. We've only had a few runs with everyone, and it's been really good though. The reception's been really good. It's been really nice getting to know so many different women, and I think the sense of community is really good there. And everyone just has each other's backs.
Chloe, as well, you're joining us here. You're a member of this club. When
Yeah.
did you start?
I started from, I think it was the
The
first run,
get-go.
but yeah, day dot. Yeah.
And did you know Emily before?
Yeah, I knew Emily from school, but not really.
Yeah.
And had you been a member of any running club before, or was there something about Emily's club that really kind of struck a chord with you and said, "Oh, actually, I would like to be a part of that one"?
I used to run when I was younger, when I was in primary school. But then when I left school, there wasn't really much for you then, unless you go into sports, you don't really get much. And being a girl in your early 20s as well, it's quite isolating when you don't have those clubs and things to go to anymore. So then that popped up and I thought, oh, it's a, something that I enjoy doing anyway, plus I can make a few friends out of it. So yeah.
And from making friends to, well, a fairly dark topic, we'll switch
Yeah.
to that. But Emily, in terms of this study from the University of Manchester, of course, like you mentioned, you've experienced living in Manchester. First of all, harassment whilst out running, is that something you've experienced?
Yeah, absolutely. More so in Manchester than I've ever experienced in the Isle of Man. It's not to say that it doesn't happen over here, but when I had my run club in Manchester, even despite it was a women's and men's run club, it was just mixed. Even if we ran all together, we'd get catcalls all the time, harassment all the time. One of the girls in our group, even when we were running all together, she got like physically assaulted when we were on a run. And just, I guess, the first response really is just so much like there's just a lot of anger towards it, because obviously it's so ridiculous. It's such a privilege for people to be able to go out and not feel like unsafe in an environment. It's such a like a privilege for a lot of men to just be able to go out in the dark and not experience that sort of environment, because it is scary. They don't have to think about having to hold their keys in between their fingers all the time, looking behind them, not wearing headphones. So I think probably the biggest concern for them is like not falling over in the dark, and ours is just like such a different reality. But in the Isle of Man, I guess I kind of thought it's not the same. I think it's so much safer over here, which it absolutely is. But I came back at Christmas from uni, and when I got back, I was going out because I had a winter training block. And when I went out on one of my runs, it was in the dark, but I thought, because it's the Isle of Man, I'm fine. I went out running, and then there was a car that drove past, and it started beeping its horn, and then loads of men were shouting out the window. And I know to a lot of people it doesn't seem like that crazy and that scary, but I think unless you're in that situation and you're by yourself as a woman running just in the dark, you don't understand like how in danger you feel. And so then I just had to cut my run short, and that shouldn't happen when I'm just trying to get through a training block.
What does that feel like when you hear those calls being made out from the car? Is it a scary experience
Yeah.
or more just frustrating as well?
It's frustrating as well. I definitely have a lot of frustration towards it, because my first response really is to be scared, and then I'm just angry at the situation. I mean, I went inside, like into my house, and I was talking to my sister, and I was just so mad about it, because I just thought I can't even just go on like a tiny run right now without someone actually just harassing. But at the start, obviously, it is scary, and then constantly, then as you're going home, you're just thinking, is somebody else going to be there? Somebody else going to shout out the window? I mean, the likelihood of it happening is quite slim over here, but it's not to say that it doesn't happen. And when I have spoken to other girls in the club, they have said before that they have experienced it. I know that Liv, who was meant to be here today, she said that she's experienced it before, and that going to uni, it does make it scarier, knowing that it is scarier going into a city, but there are different run clubs, which does help in that situation. But this is what I'm trying to diminish, basically, with having the run club, that we can go out and be together at least, so you don't have to feel so isolated on those runs, especially coming into winter, which it's so dark and scary.
Chloe, hearing what Emily said there, have you ever experienced anything like that?
I mean, I guess so. Not so much to that extent, but it's just the looks on the stairs. You know, you see people driving past, and it's, oh, I don't want to say always the men, but, you know, that's the ones that I look out for, because as a girl, you're trained to look out for that. But yeah, it's mostly just the looks on the stairs you get when you're running, you know.
And that, the group that you're in, does it provide that, you say it still happens, like you were saying in Manchester, it didn't matter whether you were in a group or not, it wouldn't put people off. Do you think it's a safety in numbers type thing?
I do think it's a safety in numbers, because I guess if she was by herself, you don't know what kind of extent that could have got to, like that situation, because I think it probably could have been a lot worse if she was running by herself. I mean, I suppose it depends on the area as well, but it definitely is a safety in numbers thing, and that's what I'm just trying to reduce, really. Being over here, even if it's like the stairs, because mainly now if we see other people or like people are looking, then it's usually just out of support, like they don't really see it as if we're in a group as something that they can target, I suppose.
Chloe, the kind of looks in the stairs that you notice, does it put you off the next time you're going for a run? Do you think, well, maybe might not today in case that happens again?
I think especially more so now at the minute, because obviously the weather's a lot warmer, and the clothes that we wear now, it wouldn't be the clothes that we would run in the winter. So obviously it does kind of put me off a little bit, or in the other sense, it maybe makes me want to wear something different, which I shouldn't have to because, you know.
And we're talking about running at the end of the day. It's free. It's one of the most simple forms of exercise that you can do, if you're able to do it, of course. So, you know, to think that there's even mental barriers there in 2025 being caused by people who act like this when they see women out and about, it's quite worrying, isn't it? What do you think can be done about it?
I do think it is quite scary. And to be honest, I don't like the research that they're doing in Surrey and the police officers going out. I mean, I know that they've said that, I think it was in about 3 weeks, they had 18 arrests already. And so obviously that's brilliant that they are cracking down on that. But I don't think it is widely spoken about enough. I know when I was in Manchester, there was a lot of things towards it, not necessarily running, but just women being by themselves anyway. So they have like Reclaim the Night, which is a movement that happens in November. But we don't really have much over here to say that. I mean, I guess that is because like it is safer over here. So it's not spoken about as much, but I don't think it is spoken about enough. And I think a lot of people kind of see, I have seen comments of when people have looked at this, where the police officers are going out, and a lot of the comments are just saying like they're wasting police time. But I don't think they're wasting police time if it's making the streets safer and also promoting like just not catcalling and harassing people, like, because I just think it's so ridiculous that in this day and age that we still have to endure that.
Well, I could hear when you were describing that experience earlier in this conversation, you were saying, oh, I know some people might say it's only this and it's only that. And Chloe, you were talking about, you know, the outfit choices that you have to make. But what do you think it's going to take for people to see this as a serious issue? Like you say, if even the police are doing a targeted campaign and people are saying it's a waste of time.
Honestly, I don't know how much they can do towards it, to be honest. It is a society mindset thing, I think. And I know a lot of people are really set in their ways. And I think now we've got to a point, I think, as a society where everyone has such strong opinions, like differing opinions, which you know, good. But also when it comes to things like this, it's just, you're basically just fighting against nothing. Like, you're just fighting against a wall, basically, because some people just can't understand how we feel. I've seen a lot of men in the comments just not understanding. And there are women as well who just say that they're not understanding. I don't know if they've just never experienced that, so obviously that's good that they've not experienced it, but they don't need to speak on other people's behalf. But then I just they can't be given their opinion if they haven't experienced it before, because it is a scary situation to be in, and I don't know what they can really do to minimize it in such a great way. I mean, obviously bringing the police in, that's a really good idea, but how much more can they do than that? I mean, there's nothing else. I know they've got a law that's coming in the UK for catcalling is going to be illegal, but I don't know when that's coming in. They haven't got a year or a time, and I don't know when that'll change in the Isle of Man either, because obviously not part of the UK, so I'm not sure.
Do you think if men had to think about things like the keys between the knuckles that you mentioned before, their choice of outfit before going for a run, do you think this would be seen as a bigger issue?
Absolutely. Absolutely it would.
What do you think, Chloe?
Yeah, I think so. Like, the day and age that we live in, we shouldn't have to wait for something big to happen, for something to change. But, you know, unfortunately, I think most times that's how it goes, doesn't it? So.
And I think as well, when we explain to like men the situation, a lot of it is us saying, oh, imagine if this was your sister. Imagine if this was your daughter. I mean, it's just ridiculous that we have to... The only way we can get empathy is from them is by saying, imagine if it was someone that you're related to. I mean, just imagine it's a woman. I mean, that's about it, really. There's nothing, like, you don't have to imagine it's a relation to you. Just put yourself in that situation. Would you want to be harassed? No.
Also, when you talked about Reclaim the Night, and you know, to talk about the, you know, the absolute extreme end of the spectrum, I was talking with my wife about the kind of reaction to the Yorkshire Ripper back in the days, because she was a uni student in Leeds, and she was saying, God, you know, 30, 40 years ago, police in the area put a curfew on women, and then the backlash to that was actually the onus shouldn't be on women in this scenario.
Yeah, absolutely.
The behaviour change.
That's what it is.
Has to come from men.
That's what's so frustrating. It's that it's not what we're doing, like, as women, like, oh, well, maybe if you don't wear your headphones, you'll be safer. Maybe if you keep car keys between your knuckles, you'll be fine. That's really not what we should be teaching. It's really, we should be teaching people to not harass other people, and these situations wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that has to start at a young age, though?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a taught thing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's being passed down from the parents?
Yeah, I think, well, not in every case, absolutely not, but I do think in a lot of cases. And it's also culture within, like, schools and things, like, it's a lot of lad culture. I do think there's a bit of an epidemic of lad culture at the moment, where I do think that is becoming a bit of a concern. But I do think that it does start from quite an early age. And if no one stops it from then, you're just going to keep growing up with those ideals, I suppose.
And if I can ask, obviously, Emily, you were mentioning you've been to uni. How old are you both now?
I'm 24.
You're 24.
I'm 21.
And you're 21. And to have gone through some of these experiences, even only secondhand at your age, is quite alarming, isn't it? Chloe, when you hear about this happening, is it the older generation that are committing? You know, when you mentioned the stares that you see out and about, is it a certain generation, should we say?
I mean, I guess so, but I think the mindset that I've kind of been brought up in is that I would probably avoid the places where the younger ones would be anyway. So in a sense, because I'm avoiding the younger ones, I'm going to get the stares from the older ones because, you know.
But again, you're having to change your behaviour, yeah, aren't you? Is it frustrating? Do you just want to run?
Yeah, we just want to run. That's it. But I think as well, when you say about like the age thing, you're saying that we've endured it at, like, these ages. It's also not just like, I think first off, it's at every age, but also I definitely experienced a lot more harassment when I was a lot younger. When I was since I probably turned 18, it's gone less, to be honest.
Wow.
Which I do think, and that's being on the Isle of Man. That's not me being away, because I've never lived away before then. And I experienced it way more when I was younger.
So if I can ask, what sort of things would you have experienced when you were younger?
Like, there's just a lot of, like, catcalling as well. But there was once this time, I was just walking home. I was about 14. And then some guy drove past on his motorbike and he basically just told me to get on the motorbike. And I said no. And then he started shouting for me to get on the motorbike. I said no, obviously. And then I sort of basically had to, like, run away. And then he was just really angry and he came round and drove past so fast, like, obviously to scare. But even though obviously it did happen, but nothing really serious happened. And then people don't really understand the extent because they just think, oh, well, someone's just asked you to get on the motorbike and you said no and that's it. But it's so scary, especially at 14. But then you're just taught constantly, just keep saying no, just keep your head down and walk away. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And that's what you're just taught from a young age being a woman.
And if you could go back now and talk to yourself at 14 and kind of look at how you reacted to that scenario, do you think you'd say anything differently?
I don't think there would be anything to say differently. Like I say, I think it is one of those where you are just sort of preaching to nothing really when you have a person like that in front of you who's just not understanding the situation. I think I basically did as best as I could in that situation. I think I phoned my mom after, probably crying. But I don't think I could have done anything else different. And you can't talk back. I mean, I'm constantly getting told, like, if you're on a night out or anything, you don't know if someone gives you a dirty look or a guy says something, it's best to just not say anything back because you don't want them to then turn around and, you know, either do something or say something horrible because what are you going to do, really?
What I'd like to go back to as well is your run club, because obviously early days, but what are your plans for it? What are you hoping it can achieve through, you know, hopefully if it gains a bit of a profile as well?
Yeah, so I think now, because we've had a bit of a month off throughout the summer, I know lots of people are on holiday and things like that, but from then we've now got lots of sessions that are booked in, lots of training sessions. So it's not just our 5K. I love our 5Ks. We do a coffee and 5K every Saturday. And then I'm now implementing, like, training sessions because I know that marathon season will start again going from, like, December onwards. So I know a lot of people will be training for that. I know a lot of people in the Isle of Man are pretty crazy for anything fitness. So they'll probably be involved in that. And then I just want to sort of collaborate with lots of other local businesses as well and, like, trying to get, even if it's just like cafes that we're going to and collaborating with them and just spreading the awareness a bit more, I think, and just finding the place where we can put the message out about it. Because right now it is a case of just setting up and getting it out there. I think I would now just want to start implementing that message, like, wherever we go, really.
There might be some women on the island who, because of the very issues we've been talking about today, never go out and never exercise outside, outdoors on the island. It's a shame. It's such a beautiful island. Would they be welcome at your club as
well,
absolutely, to start?
Absolutely. Any girl's welcome at our club. Doesn't matter how fast or slow or if you're feeling anxious. Everyone's so nice. There's such a community feel, isn't there? And I just think, like, everyone is just so lovely. Like, as soon as I did know some people when I started it, but on that first session you start off in your little groups and then eventually everyone's just talking to everyone, and now we've just got this nice, like, group feel with everyone. But it's so welcoming, so you should definitely join.
Perfect. And Chloe, why should they join?
Well, like Emily said, when we first started, well, I was quite anxious and I was nervous, but I knew that I wanted to put myself out there and join something that would, you know, help me with my training. And so that's what I've kind of found our little community within it as well. So.
And how more frequently do you run now that the club's going?
So I still stick to my normal training plan, but, like, to me, the run like a girl run is kind of like, I treat it like a little fun.
I was going to say, it's morning. Social, isn't it?
You know, it's not really training. It's coffee and a run.
It just helps that we run as well.
Yeah.
And just finally then, where can people find more details about your club?
Yeah, so we've got an Instagram page and a Facebook page, and it's runlikeagirl.im, and then on there we've got our WhatsApp group chat, and we're also on Strava as well.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.